In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Our Lady, Queen of all Saints, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. So we are on Louisa and Bread, Food of the Divine Will, page 7, volume 18, 1017, 1925. Jesus begins his discussion with Louisa. My daughter, my divine will is more than food. So here, Jesus begins to show us how much this divine will is all about. It's more than food. And again, if we don't eat food, what happens is we die. With this gift of the divine will, what Jesus is asking of us is that we begin to feed ourselves every day. That's why, you know, just to read the calendar, it's so good, because the calendar, every day you read, every day you will get stronger, you will get more intense, the intense love of God flowing in your veins. So he says, it's my divine will is more than food. Food gives strength to the body, it warms it, it increases the blood, it enlivens the intelligence, and if it is dim, it puts liveliness in all its members. It pushes the creature to new works and new sacrifices. So here, he's talking about the saints. The saints, with food, can do new works and new sacrifices. And with the divine will, there are more things that God wants us to do. New divine works, new divine sacrifices that the saints could only dream about. So he says, on the other hand, the one who is on an empty stomach, not giving the necessary food to her body, is weak, cold, lacking in blood. Her intelligence is dim, exhausted in all of her members, and it leads her to melancholy, and pushes her to do nothing. That reminds me of someone who always said that this is just my personality, is melancholy. And what happens? It pushes that soul to do nothing, with no desire to sacrifice herself in anything. What God is asking of us is to conquer our human weakness and to live a divine life. Live, as the priest puts a drop of water in the chalice every day, may we share in the divinity of Christ. What God is asking is to begin to live a new and divine way of holiness. As Pope St. John Paul II told us at the canonization of St. Honorable de Francia. It's very, very clear. God is asking us to change our human weakness, or change our human inadequacies into divine. So there's no excuse for those who are reading the divine will that won't be filled with new and abundant life. You know, even if you're dying, new and abundant life. What does this mean? Jesus, remember what Jesus said to Louisa in August. He said, Louisa said, my spiritual director stopped reading and he died. And she said to Louisa, if he didn't stop reading, would he still be alive? And Jesus said, yes. You have to understand, you know, all of us are given an opportunity to get stronger spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally. And this strength is the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve, which the saints didn't have. So by reading every day, by studying every day, by putting into practice every day, by doing our rounds, praying the Passion, praying the Virgin Mary and the Kingdom, praying the You Must Know book, you praying the Be Attentive book, praying the Prodigies of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and all that's there is healing us. God is healing us. He shows us this. It's to begin to live a life that the saints only could dream of. And that's why he says, poor one, she feels life missing in all of her person. And this is so true that when an illness is mortal for the creature, she abandons food, and by abandoning food, she disposes herself to death. And Jesus is showing us that he doesn't want us to enter into spiritual death. He wants to fill us to the brim and overflowing with his gift of the divine will. He doesn't want us to just be good and holy and saintly. You know, we said that to the children. You can't get to heaven by being good. It doesn't work. You got to become holy. You've got to become a saint. And that's why volume 1 through volume 10 is how to become a divine mirror of Jesus, becoming a saint. How to volume 11 through volume 19, how to live in the divine will through the power of the Holy Spirit. And volume 20 through volume 36, how to receive the divine inheritance of the Father. It's to go to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit to let them reign in us. And that's the life of Jesus. That's the life of Mary. When you look at the Blessed Mother, you see the daughter of the Father, the mother of the Son, the spouse and temple of the Holy Spirit. This is what God wants for us. He wants us to enter into this life. As a matter of fact, today, on November 22nd, Our Lady appeared to Sister Mary Ephraim as Our Lady the Divine Indwelling. Now, what's Our Lady the Divine Indwelling? It's basically to let the Holy Trinity dwell within us, to begin to use our senses so that we see God and hear God and smell God and taste God and touch God. That's why Jesus said in volume 36 why he created our senses for God. And Our Lady of the Divine Indwelling is, out of all her apparitions, this is the apparition that shows how necessary it is to live in God's most holy divine will. It's not just to be good and holy and saintly. It's not just to be consecrated to the Blessed Mother, and not just to be consecrated to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the Immaculate Heart of Mary, but to live their life on earth as they live it in heaven. I mean, it's to bring heaven to earth. It's to begin to live this abundant life. This is what God is waiting for. So he says, now since the eternal wisdom, Jesus, has established that the soul too should have food, Louisa was assigned the supreme will as delicious food. So the eternal wisdom of God established that Louisa should have this divine food. Louisa was assigned the supreme will as her delicious food. So here we're getting to understand why it's so important to go to Louisa. She possesses this gift. She is the firstborn. She is the newborn of the divine will. She possesses the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. It's not a good and holy and saintly life who did the will of God. But it's the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary found in Louisa. She is the only human born of original sin who possesses this gift. And some people say, you know, other souls lived in the divine will. That only proves that they haven't read the 36 volumes, that they could come to that conclusion. And what does Jesus say? The eternal wisdom established that the soul, Louisa Picaretta, should have the food of the divine will. So Louisa was assigned the supreme will as delicious food, as her food. So our job is to begin to understand that. Those that say, well, I possess the divine will, as Father Bucci says, you're only fooling yourself. It's Louisa who possesses it. We want this gift. But to possess this gift, as Louisa possessed it, is to be divinized. It's the fulfillment of the prayer that the priest says every day at Holy Mass. May we share in the divinity of Christ. She shares in the divinity of Christ. And it comes through suffering. She was crucified by Jesus every day. Why? Jesus wanted her to be more like him. And without the crucifixion, without the suffering, there is no likeness. So those that say, well, I possess this gift, how foolish that is. We want this gift, but it's Louisa's, and we have to recognize that it is Louisa who possesses this gift, not us at this time. Hopefully, in time, that will happen. In time, this will be given to us. But again, we know the first one who must possess it next to Louisa is the Holy Father, the Pontiff. He has the keys to the kingdom. You need a man and a woman for every era. The era of creation was Adam and Eve. The era of redemption was Jesus and Mary. The era of sanctification is the Holy Father and Louisa. So the one, it's the one who takes this food is strong in doing good, in doing that of God. Louisa is as though soaked with love for her God. She possesses the love of God. She possesses the divine love of God as her own. And therefore, she can give that back to God. Again, she possesses the image and likeness of God. She begins again where Adam fell. And that means to begin to live this abundant life. That's Louisa Picaretta. So this food increases the divine blood in her veins in order to form the growth of the life of God within her. So this food, this bread of the divine will, as you read every day, as you study every day, you're going to begin to increase this divine blood within you. Why? To form the growth of the divine life of God within yourself, as Louisa did. Now, when, you know, some people snap their fingers and they say, tell us about this, tell us about that. And in the divine will, you have to be seeped like a tea bag in hot water. You have to seep this, study it every day. Go into this every day. Why? So that you can possess this gift. So the more that you read, the more God expands your capacity. The more God expands your capacity, and the more that you read, the more He can give you. And it's constantly growing. It will never end. For 1,000 million years from now, as we are in the presence of God, He's still going to explain to us who He is, and we're going to continue to expand our capacity to know God and to love God and to possess God. But we will never completely know God. He's God, infinite, infinite. Somebody was telling me today that they just can't get over that God, there was no beginning for God, and there's no end of God. And they kept on saying, it's mind-boggling. Where did He come from? And He's God. There's no beginning. There's no end. God, this is God Almighty. Pure love. God is in existence. And He wants us to participate in Him. Again, 1,000 million years from now, we're going to know God so well. But we're not going to even come close to who He is. We will not even come close. And this is what He means. The one who takes this food, the one who reads, the one who studies, the one who puts into practice the divine will, takes this food, becomes strong in doing God, living God, as though you are soaked with the love of God for her. You begin to give back to God what God has given to you. So this is a great blessing that God is giving to us. It's not about being good or holy or saintly. It's about sharing in divinity. So this food, this divine will, increases the divine blood in order to grow, in order to form the growth of the life of God within her. Like sun, it is reflected in Louisa's intelligence to make Louisa know her Creator and be formed in His likeness. This is what God wants. You become what you love. You become that which you want to be with. They say a dog owner ends up looking like their dog. You're becoming in the dog's likeness. The dog's likeness is becoming like you. It's really astonishing. Okay. Jesus doesn't want us to be focused on dogs. He wants us to be focused on Him, to become more like God, more like God's image, more like God's likeness. So the sun, it's reflected in Louisa. She begins to think clear. She begins to think with the mind of Christ. It's not the human intelligence. It's the mind of Christ to know love and for the saints to serve God. For us is to know love and then to possess God. So what's happening is God is changing our intellect. He's helping us understand from a divine perspective. Now, that's one of the reasons why people don't like to talk to those in the divine will. And I've seen it over and over. I've seen even people in the divine will, or supposedly in the divine will, they get angry when somebody starts reading or telling them about the divine will. It's annoying to them. Why? You're speaking on a different level of intelligence, and they can't understand you. They can't believe it. They don't want to believe it. They have limited God to the way they are comfortable with God. Again, the divine will is to begin to let go of everything that's human, to begin to embrace everything that's divine. That's what God's waiting for. He's waiting for us to begin to live this abundant life, and not to live it the way the saints did it, but to live it the way God is asking us to live it. And again, as you read, as you study, as you enter into this gift, you know, since all of us are different, all of us are at different levels. What does that mean? It's, you might be attracted to, let's just look at colors. You might be attracted to the color red. Somebody else may be attracted to the color blue. Somebody else attracted to the color yellow. Okay. It's a different level. It's a different stage. It's a, you know, God is developing you the way it's comfortable for you to learn. And so the more that we read, the more God is explaining himself to you personally. And so when we try to compare ourselves to somebody else, it doesn't work. You know, everybody is different. Doctor, lawyer, policeman, fireman, everybody thinks differently. Their spiritual life is different. You look at the religious life. The religious life is easy because you just follow the person in charge. That's easy, you know. And if you can't follow the person in charge, you can't be part of that religious community. To live in the divine will is to learn how God is speaking to you personally, and it's not like anybody else in the world. So your prayer life is different than if you were living in a religious community. Religious community is easy for those that can submit to it. But what Jesus is asking of the divine will is to become that unique individual that no one else is like. It's not to be like St. Francis, not to be like, and who is that person he's calling us to? It's calling us to be like Christ. Thinking with the mind of Christ, acting with the mind of Christ. It's not to be trying to follow the rules of Francis or the rules of Ignatius. That's easy. And that's where we've been for 2,000 years. And Jesus says, now I want more. You remember the two ladders, the one ladder Louisa saw everybody climbing up, and there's St. Francis, and there's St., you know, Leo, and there's St. George. You know, it's everybody was different and unique. But then the golden ladder, the children of the divine will, there was Jesus, there was Jesus, there was Jesus. In that unique manner that God was calling that soul to live. Again, it's very, very clear what God is asking of us is to begin to live this abundant life, not to be like anybody else. It doesn't work. It's, that's why, like, a lot of the times, there are certain organizations that you can't tell them about the divine will because they want to be like something that they admire. They want to be like Francis. They want to be like Claire. And it's, we are to be like Jesus. That's what the divine will is. So he says very clearly, he says, it puts divine liveliness in the whole soul in order to put all the divine virtues in force. It pushes the soul to new divine works and to new divine sacrifices unheard of. Nobody else will do them. That what God has planned for you, nobody else can do. Nobody else wants to do that. So he's looking at us and he's saying, you keep on reading, you keep on studying, you keep on putting this into practice, and I will lead you. God is leading us. Remember, Jesus, the scripture says, when the Spirit of truth comes, it will reveal to you all truths and will remind you of everything that Jesus has said. Everything that I have said, Jesus says. Okay, that's not being good and holy and saintly. what's happening in the religious lives, the religious communities, is they're following the founder or the foundress, putting everything into practice what they have said, what they want us to know. Jesus says, that's not how I want you to live. I want you to live the way I will teach you, the Lord God Almighty. So again, it says very clearly, he puts a divine liveliness in the soul, the whole soul, in order to put all the divine virtues in force. It pushes the soul to new divine works and to new divine sacrifices that are unheard of by any of the saints. See, what's coming is a new beginning. What's coming is a new way, a new life. The food of my most holy divine will gives itself in every instant, at each breath, at night, during the day, in each thing, and as many times as one wants, nor is there any danger, as with corporal food, in taking too much of it. It may do harm and even produce illness. No. Rather, the more one takes of the divine will, the food of the divine will, the more the food of the divine will fortifies, the more the food of the divine will raises the soul into the likeness of her God, of her Creator. So again, that's what I'm saying. You got the Book of Heaven, you got the Hours of the Passion, you got the Virgin Mary, you've got the You Must Know book, you got the Prodigy book. You should have these books all around, really. So no matter where you are, this is the room where I will focus on, the Book of Heaven. This is the room where I will focus on, the prodigies of Our Lady. It's let God teach you. Have everything spread out so that you don't have to go searching. You have a book here, a book there, a book here. And what happens is God will say, read this. And you're listening to him. He's telling you what to do. When somebody says to me, what do I do now? You haven't even listened to Jesus yet. He should be telling you what to do at every minute. I mean, that's what he says. He wants us to hear him. Maybe not with our ears, but with our mind, our heart, our soul. So she says, Jesus says this, one can remain with one's mouth always open. Okay, like a bird. A little baby bird, in the act of taking this celestial food. This is what I mean by the books. Have them all around. Have them all around. So, you can read from this book, and then you can read from that book, and then you can read from this book. You're being fed with different fruit, different vegetables, constantly, in a way. It's God is speaking to you. God is leading you, guiding you, directing you. There was a time when we didn't have the writings. There was a time when we had the Virgin Mary in the kingdom, and that's it. The Hours of the Passion, the Virgin Mary. That's all we had. And now we have everything. And we can stuff ourselves if we wish. You won't get sick. The other stuff will do harm to you. But this, the more one takes, the more the divine will fortifies you, the more the divine will raise the soul to the likeness of your God. So he's teaching us, every one of us. Now think about it. He knows what we're going to read at what time. He knows it. If you have the Hours of the Passion out, he knows you're going to read that. If you have the Virgin Mary and the Kingdom out, he knows when you're going to read it. He has planned it because he's going to tell you, pick it up and read. He's going to tell you, and again, it doesn't have to be for hours. One sentence. Let Jesus just whisper something to you. Let Our Lady tell you something. What was it the other day? The 4 points of how to live in the divine will. I mean, that was, it's what, volume 4? God is speaking. He says, here it is. You're reading things in the higher volumes. And Jesus says on, what was it, the 20th of November at 1900, volume 4, says, here's the 4 points. Did you forget about these 4 points? I want you to know this. I want you to live this. I want you to possess this. So he whispers it to you. And you go, yeah, I forgot about that. Let me put this into practice again. And again, as you enter into this, it's Jesus speaking to you. That's what the great thing about the calendar. He's always speaking to you, all throughout the day. So all is the opposite for the one who does not take this food of my most holy divine will. For the one that does not take this food of the divine will at all, it could be said that she disposes herself to die eternally. I mean, this is so sad, to die eternally. He wants us to be eternally alive. And so he's giving, like I said, there was a time we didn't have the Book of Heaven. As a matter of fact, this year, how many years has it been since the books came out? Maybe 23 years? This coming year, 24. 24 years, almost a quarter of a century, let's just say. We have all the volumes for 25 years, basically. This is astonishing. The face of the earth should be changed. We sent to China, about 100 CDs of all 36 volumes, which I can say that the clampdown on the church in China is a good thing, because people are now reading Luisa. And this is the only thing that's going to get them through what's coming, the great chastisement that's coming. I have great hope in China, great hope of what's happening. I know people who are translating in Poland and in Russian, you know, in Japanese, in Korean. Everybody is little by little entering into this gift. It's worldwide. And the more that we read, the more that we study this, the sooner the kingdom's going to come. And that's what God's waiting for. He's waiting for this. So he says, if you don't take this divine will at all, you dispose yourself to die eternally. That's not what God wants for us. He wants us to live eternally. As for the one who seldom feeds herself, she is weak, she is inconstant and good, she is cold in love, she is lacking in divine blood, in such a way that the divine life grows as though anemic within her. That's not what God wants. You could make that excuse before 1996, but you can't make that excuse now. You just can't. God wants us to begin to live this abundant life and not to be anemic. The light of her intelligence is so dim. This gives you a glimpse of when you try to talk to people about Luisa. Her intelligence is so dim that she knows little or nothing of her Creator, and not knowing Him, His likeness is so far away from that soul, for so much as she is far away from the food, this bread of life, this bread of the divine will, of His most holy divine will. So again, God is showing us that, like for Christmas, what's coming up for Christmas? You send something out with just a sentence of the divine will. You know, my wish for you, you could go to what Luisa's letters. What did she say during Christmas? My wish for you is that what? It's go to Luisa and ask her, what do you want me to send out to my family and friends? To be mocked. You'll be mocked. You'll be laughed at. You'll be ridiculed. You'll be hated. Why? Jesus tells us this. Their intelligence is so dim that you know little or nothing of God. And not knowing God, His likeness is so far away from that soul, for as much as she is far away from the food of His divine will. So you're feeding them. And if they're like a little bird with their mouth open, they will be attracted to it. If not, then that's where they stay, unfortunately. Again, God is asking us to advance. He's really asking us to begin to live this divine life. She is living, she is without the liveliness in doing God, doing good, because she does not have the sufficient food. And now patience escapes her, now charity escapes her, now detachment from everything escapes her. So the poor virtues live as though strangled, without enough of the food of my most holy divine will. So everything falls apart. The more that you read, the more you will be patient. The more that you read, the more you will be, you'll have charity. The more you are patient, the more that you read, the more you will be detached from everything. And that's the best part, detachment. So it's the best thing in the world. That's the first thing that Jesus says to live in the divine will. You have to be detached. if you possess it, that's what you possess will lead you away from God. You have to understand that. What God is calling you to is to begin to live an abundant life. And if you possess something, it's not God. If you possess anything of the earth, it's not God. Now, that doesn't mean you abandon your family. But the love is to be alone with God reading. The love of your life is to be alone with God focused on this gift. Again, you're not going to find this any place in any of the dogma or doctrine of our faith. You're not going to find it. Everything points to this, but the understanding of the divine will is found only in the book of heaven. You're not going to find it in any of the saints. All the saints point to this, but you're not going to find it only in the book of heaven. And as you focus on the book of heaven, you begin to enter into the image and likeness of God. You know, don't fool yourself that you can find it from any of the saints. I've heard so many people, oh, there's this great book. It's a wonderful book by Saint so-and-so. It's so beautiful. And I go, why are you going backwards? It's not divine will. Oh, no, it's the divine will. It's not the divine will. If Louisa isn't there, it's not the divine will. Louisa is the only one that possesses this gift. She's the only one that has written down every way and how this is going to happen. It's not in any of the saints. I'm sorry. Who lived in the divine will? Jesus, Mary, and Louisa. Adam did for a while, but he lost it. Who is going to be the first one to live in the fullness of the divine will next to Louisa? Read the three appeals. It's the Holy Father. You know, so to go to the saints, I think really is insulting to God. You don't believe that he's speaking to you through Louisa. I mean, the saints are great. But they're, you know, they show you how to do the will of God. That's volume 1 through volume 10. If you read volume 1 through volume 10, you learn how to do the will of God. And what happens in volume 10? What happens in volume 10? It shows the priests who are supposed to be living in the divine will. It's complete nonsense. And what does Jesus say? I'm going to renew the priesthood. Here, the priests, they're supposed to be alter Christus, other Christ. They're living pagan lives. And Jesus says very clearly, this is at the end of doing the will of God. At 1 through 10 is learning how to live, how to do the will of God. In volume 10, Jesus says he's completely disgusted. His greatest suffering is the terrible plight of his priests. So what does he do in volume 11? Okay, now I'm going to show you how to live in the divine will. So to follow the saints, you'll end up like the saints. They're good and holy and saintly, but they're not living a divine life. You see how important it is to be focused on the book of heaven. To be focused on the book of heaven is everything that God is asking of us. So he says very, very, so poor virtues live as though strangled without enough food of my most holy divine will. Ah, if one could see a soul without this celestial food, one would weep over that soul. That's what we weep. We weep over what Jesus is saying about the priesthood in volume 10. Why? They don't have the divine will. They don't even know how to do the will of God and become saints. Ah, if one could see without the celestial food, they would weep over the soul, for the so many are the miseries, so many are the rubbish with which she is covered. However, there is more for the one to compassionate. If one sees a creature starved of corporal food, because many times she lacks the means in order to buy it. But the food of my most holy divine will is given out for free. You have the book of heaven. It's free. Therefore, the one that does not take it deserves condemnation. If you're not reading the divine will, you deserve condemnation. If you're not reading it every day, you're going to condemn yourself. I had in my hands this food from heaven. It was given to me by Jesus Christ himself, and I didn't do anything with it. And therefore, you will stand before Jesus and say, yes, I need to be condemned. I mean, you're going to be honest with him. I had this food in my hands, the 36 volumes, and I'm going to condemn myself. This is the justice of God, because I did not enter into his life. And again, it's very, very, so therefore the one who does not take this gift of the book of heaven deserves condemnation, and the condemnation is formed by herself, there it is right there, because she has rejected the food from Jesus Christ, given to her by Jesus Christ, that would give her divine life. So again, our God is asking us. He's asking us, he's pleading with us to begin to understand that he, the Lord God Almighty, is speaking to us as we read. And if we stop reading, we are saying to Jesus, I don't want to listen to the word. I don't want to listen to you. I've got things that I want to do. I got things that I want to accomplish. God says, fine. He's not going to stand in your way. He's given us free will. The wonderful thing about the divine will is if you're reading, you begin to say, I have to do this. This is what God is expecting of me, to read this, to study this, to put this into practice. If you don't do it, you're going to stand before God condemning yourself. And it's not going to be pity, pity me. It's going to be, I've been given the gift of gifts. I've been given the gift of gifts. Louisa Picaretta and the Divine Will, and I kept it in my drawer. I kept it on the shelf. Jesus was wanting to speak to me all day long, and I listened to him for a couple of minutes. I deserve to be condemned. It's a lot of people say, oh, I wish I was alive when Jesus was here. This is Jesus is here. You know, to spend time with him is to read and study and to put this into practice. This is what God's waiting for. So he says, the condemnation is formed by herself because she has rejected the divine food which would give her divine life. Then afterwards I heard that various people had suffered contrasts, humiliations, and other things. And my sweet Jesus resumed his speaking. He says, my daughter, just as the body contains bad blood, which infects the good one, and it is necessary to apply bitters, leeches, bloodletting, in order to draw out the bad blood. Otherwise, one is in danger of remaining paralyzed for the rest of one's life. So here he's showing us, this is how, as a matter of fact, George Washington died. They were bloodletting him so much that he died. You know, he didn't even enter into the 1800s. He died in 1799. He died in 1799 because of bloodletting. It's just interesting. In the same way, the soul who lacks the continual food of my divine will contains many bad humors. See, Jesus is showing us this. If we're not reading, we're not eating this continuous food of the divine will, you contain many bad humors, and it is necessary to apply the bitters of humiliations. This is why we're humiliated. And if anybody needs humiliation, just get near me and I'll help you very much. In order to draw out the bad humor of self-esteem, the bites of leeches, in order to extract the infected humor of the vainglory and of one's own self. See, we have to disappear. The vainglory of oneself. This is what I see constantly all around us. We are nothing. God is everything. It's not that we pity ourselves. God is everything, you know? If you have to look into a mirror because you have a cut, okay, you know, on your face, say. But there's no reason to look into a mirror. I mean, that's just vainglory. Immediate bloodletting, to block and draw out the bad blood of the little attachments, the human attachments, which she keeps forming in her heart toward people who she approaches in doing good. You know, it's we are nothing. When we talk, it should be all about the glory of God. That's what it should be. Focused on how great God is. That we have to learn to do that. It's not about us. We're nothing. We're nothing. When we get angry with somebody because they humiliated us, you know, how dare you say that? Who are we? We think we're pretty much something. That how dare you say that? You know, it just shows that there's vainglory there. Humiliations is we have to get to the point of looking for humiliations to make sure that, you know, we're put in our place. That, you know, it's joy. Jesus, others than yourself last. That's real joy, to not have any focus on who we are, but who God is. You know, I mean, when was the last time you bought something for God? What did you buy for God? You know, to give glory to God. I mean, just think about it. God gives us everything. He's constantly giving us everything. You know, one of the best ways of giving glory to God is when you do your rounds. I want to buy something for God. What would you buy for God if you had to buy something? What would you buy? I mean, think about what you could give to God. You know, it's very, very important that we recognize God first. Otherwise, those humors would grow so much as to infect everything the soul does in such a way as to remain paralyzed and good for the rest of her life. That's awful. The rest of your life. I mean, that's eternity. The way to enter into the Son, S-U-N, of God, the Son of the Divine Will, is to die to your ego and your will. To focus on Him and Him alone. So what do we do? Do we spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament? Do we do our rounds? I mean, it's the same thing. Where are your rounds? Where's the Hours of the Passion? Where's the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom? Where's the You Must Know book? Where's the Be Attentive book? Where are they? I mean, this is giving to God what God wants, that we become like Him. Image and likeness. Again, it's very, very important that we have to begin to understand how important this bread, this first bread, the bread of the divine will is, and why God wants to feed us this. It's you keep your mouth open like a little baby bird, wanting to be fed, wanting to be, you know, fed constantly. Therefore, if all did good in order to only in order to fulfill my divine will, punctures would not be necessary. Okay, this is what I'm talking about. You know, looking in the mirror, where have you been wounded? You know, how are you going to be restored? Punctures would not be necessary because my divine will is the safeguard against all bad humors. What's a bad humor? You know, it's all the vices. Worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin is just the beginning. And God wants to get rid of all the vices. Why? To enter into the virtues. The virtues are just slivers of what the divine will is all about. And God wants to use those virtues in order to enter into the divine life of God. So what does He tell Luis all the time? Obedience. What are you obedient to? You're obedient to Jesus speaking to you in the Book of Heaven. You're obedient to Jesus speaking to you in the Hours of the Passion. You're obedient to Our Lady speaking to you in the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom. It's to hear Jesus and Mary speak to you through Luisa. This is what God's waiting for. And when we let go of the Book of Heaven without reading, without studying, without putting into practice, what happens at that point is you will become a good religious, but you won't live in the divine will. and you know, you'll become a, you know, a saint. That's volume 1 through volume 10. But look at the consequences of 1 through 10. Jesus is so upset in volume 10. This is how you do the will of God. And then he says, look at the priests. Look where they are. And now he says, volume 11 through volume 19, I want you to live in the divine will through the power of the Holy Spirit. And then volume 20 through volume 36, I want you to receive the divine inheritance of the Father and begin to live this abundant life. See, our whole, Jesus is showing us, it's not the lives of the saints. To get us through what's coming, the only way to get us through what's coming is by reading the book of heaven. So he says, so punctures are also the penalties for those who do not take enough food of my most holy divine will. What does this mean? You're going to be humiliated. You're going to be insulted. You're going to be ridiculed. You're going to be mocked. You're going to be laughed at. You're going to be spit upon. You're going to be cut down. Because this is the penalty for not reading the divine will. You're not, if you're reading the divine will, that cannot happen to you. You have to understand. What are the four things that Jesus said to Louisa? He says, number one, there will be a great chastisement. A large majority of humanity will be gone. And then he says, then what will happen? My mother will mark all her children, all the little children, the holy divine will, and no harm can come to them. Then what happens? He says that the little children, the holy divine will, marked by the Blessed Mother, the chastisement will have little or no effect upon them. And then finally he says, the survivors of this great chastisement will be the little children of the holy divine will. What does that mean? No harm can come to you. You have to understand, Jesus is giving us a new way of living. So we'll end there in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.